This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Six in the evening with Lynn and Ayman, as well as, of course, producer Tasha Fusil here with us for our Parliament highlights. Tasha, what do you have for us?
Okay, so just recently, the government had announced that they would be implementing the mandatory use of child restrained seats in vehicles starting January next year.
And I think like for the first 6 months, they're not going to be issuing summonses, right?
Yeah, they're not going to be. However, there were still a few issues that were raised by the MPs today. One of the questions was how this rule is going to apply to large families with lots of children. For example, you wouldn't be able to fit 4 or 5 child seats into a car. Deputy Transport Minister Kamarudin Jaafar said that these families will actually be given an exemption. That's according to him. Anyway, the ministry also says they'll be starting off with raising awareness sort of approach instead of being punitive.
Saya suka melaporkan bahawa secara umumnya pendekatan Kementerian Pengangkutan dalam pelaksanaan dasar baru CRS yang akan bermula pada tahun hadapan ini adalah untuk memulakannya sebagaimana yang berhormat Menteri pun maklumkan dalam penggulungan bajet baru-baru ini akan diambil pendekatan pendidikan, nasihat dan sebagainya. Tidak akan ada tindakan-tindakan yang jelas dan keras ataupun disaman. Khusus untuk keluarga yang besar, saya boleh laporkan bahawa yang melibatkan keluarga yang besar akan diberikan pengecualian sekiranya di dalam sebuah kenderaan tersebut tidak membolehkan CRS dipasang dalam bilangan yang sama dengan ramainya anak-anak kita.
There was also a question on the cost of installing child seats, especially for B40 families. The Deputy Minister said that the import duty has been zero-rated and that SST will be reduced from 10% to 5%.
Kementerian Pengangkutan telah pun mendapat kelulusan untuk duty import CRS ini dikosongkan, zero import duty, daripada sekitar, saya dimaklumkan, 30%. Kemudian cukai SST pula telah dipersetujui diturunkan daripada 10% ke 5%. Jadi proses ini dalam proses pemewartaan sebelum ianya dilaksanakan pada tahun hadapan. Juga berkaitan dengan golongan OKU, saya dapat laporkan bahawa setakat ini telah terdapat pihak swasta yang telah memberikan subsidi pembelian kerusi kanak-kanak ini kepada golongan yang kurang berkemampuan. Dan ini akan terus-menerus menjadi juga dasar kementerian untuk menggalakkan lagi penjualan kerusi-kerusi ini yang semurah mungkin untuk kepentingan rakyat kita di Malaysia ini.
Another issue to consider here is the installation of child restraint seats on public transportation. The Deputy Minister said that mandatory installation will first apply to private vehicles before they start thinking about doing it on buses, taxis and so on.
Yeah, I think that this is a topic that has been discussed an awful lot, and it's all of these things, right? I mean, the issue of cost, the issue of space, the issue of capacity. I don't know if there are any easy answers to it because, of course, you have this desire to get the very best possible car seat. A, if you can afford it, then you're looking for, you know, sort of the really premium ones. They take up a lot of room. So you sometimes, I think, end up with families not having enough space in one car to go out. And then do you even have two cars? You know, so that's one thing. The other aspect of it, of course, is if you get a cheap car seat, a cheap child restraint seat, then it's not exactly a whole lot safer. So there are a lot of different considerations that need to be made.
If I'm not mistaken, the ministry did produce these regulations and guidelines on like the dimensions of car seats and stuff like that, and that it must be made of high quality. So in terms of the production of car seats, I mean, the safety guidelines are there, but again, it's just, as you said, Lynn, some people may not be able to afford like 3 car seats for their 3 children. Some people may not have the car that's big enough to fit these car seats. So it is a tough one to sort of figure out what large families can do. But in my mind right now, off the top of my head, I would imagine that this is the opportunity for car seat manufacturers, child car seat manufacturers, to design a more space-friendly CRS. that is more space efficient, so that families with many children can sort of fit it in their car. I know that's one way of thinking of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think a more space efficient child seat that doesn't compromise on safety, as well as is an okay price, because that's the other part of it, right? If you have a large family, and if you have a large family where you have a lot of young children, then again, the number of car seats and the space that they take up in your car, that goes up tremendously. So yeah, we're going to be talking about it in more detail later on in the show. But if you have thoughts or solutions in particular for something like this that doesn't necessarily involve having to buy a whole other car, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
So moving on from child seats, Tasha, was there anything else that caught your attention?
Yes, we've got more updates on the flying car. The chair of the Public Accounts Committee, Datuk Nuraini Ahmad, released a statement today that details findings from the committee's inquiry into the flying car project. The PAC found a number of faults. One of the key points was that although the minister has said that the flying car is a private project that didn't involve any public funds, there was actually an investment worth 20 million ringgit that had been approved by Venture Tech Sdn Bhd, which is actually a subsidiary of the Malaysia Industrial Government of High Technology, otherwise known as MITE. And MITE is an entity under the Prime Minister's Department.
I have so many thoughts. Firstly, I didn't know MITE existed. And now that I'm seeing it, you know, in print, it looks a lot like a comic book thing. But that's a separate thought. I mean, it doesn't look great.
It doesn't. I think they did sort of outline in, VentureTech outlined in their report that money was being channeled into projects like building a data service center and also buying of drones. So not directly related to the actual car project, but we don't know that.
I mean, in hindsight, it does make sense that there would have been some kind of public investment in it. Like creating a flying car, right, or a big drone or whatever you want to call it, is a very capital-intensive initiative, tech-intensive as well. And it's very risky as well for a private investor to sort of inject their money in it. So I would imagine that if it were to be a fully private kind of initiative, it would have been tough for them to get funding. So I guess in hindsight, while a bit disappointing, it does make sense that there would have been some kind of public investment involved in it, although I wish they were more transparent about it.
Right. So what's going to happen from here on?
So the committee has asked for the National Audit Department to conduct an audit to find out the objective of the 20 million investment and whether or not it was indeed used for the flying car.
You said there were like several faults. What else did the report talk about?
One other thing that was mentioned was that the Entrepreneurial Development Minister had made an announcement on the flying car prematurely without actually informing or first informing the cabinet and other relevant agencies. It was also found that although the minister had said that the project would use local technology, the prototype is actually slated to be built in Japan.
Ayo, my head hurts. I mean, every time we've spoken about the flying car, the reaction tends to be, why, right? Even among people who support the project in theory, it's like, well, why? And why are we pushing it so much? Why is the minister continuously talking about it, touting it, you know, saying that it's going to be this grand new thing? And it's like, I feel as if what we're witnessing is sort of a steady chipping away at the narrative. It's like, well, don't worry, it's at least, you know, going to use local tech, but actually, no, don't worry, it doesn't have any public investment, but actually, perhaps, you know, so
he painted a very rosy picture, right, that this would provide jobs and that this could, you know, be like a great innovation and, you know, put Malaysia on the map and everything. So we don't know what's actually going to happen.
I mean, fingers crossed. I don't know why. I think because it's been such a long-running story throughout the year, a part of me still wants them to, like, pull it back. But considering that the flight has been stalled, I just don't know. Are there any other updates, Tasha?
Yes. Opposition MPs from BN, PAS and GPS held a PC today to express their rejection of the IPCMC bill that is scheduled to be tabled in Parliament next week. The IPCMC is, of course, the Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission, which is supposed to be the external oversight body of the police force.
And why are they rejecting it?
So opposition leader Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri said a few things, like the IPCMC being in contradiction to the federal constitution and the lack of support from the police for its establishment.
Seperti yang semua maklum, bahawa apabila RUU IPCMC dibentangkan di parlimen sebelum ini, kita di blok pembangkang menolak usul tersebut. Tapi usul itu dibawa ke Special Select Committee untuk mendengar pandangan daripada pihak polis dan juga orang ramai. Walaupun setelah kita membaca finding daripada Select Committee ini dan juga mendapat makluman daripada rakan-rakan kita yang berada di dalam Select Committee bahawa Select Committee ini sebenarnya hanyalah sebagai kosmetik dan lakonan semata-mata. Kerana sewaktu perjumpaan dengan stakeholders tadi, pihak polis misalnya tidak bersetuju dengan cadangan-cadangan klausa di dalam IPCMC ini, malah pakar perundangan perlembagaan juga dipanggil untuk memberikan pandangan. Dan mereka juga tidak bersetuju kerana berpandangan bahawa IPCMC ini bertentangan dengan perkara 140 dan 135 Perlembagaan Persekutuan. Sepatutnya pihak kerajaan melihat kepada kebajikan anggota polis, kebajikan keluarga mereka. Dan kita berpandangan bahawa 150,000 anggota polis yang bertugas mempertaruhkan masa dan nyawa mereka untuk mempertahankan kita semua, keselamatan kita semua. Tetapi akhirnya balasan daripada pihak kerajaan adalah memberikan tekanan kepada mereka.
So that was opposition leader Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri, and now it's that time to meet an MP. Tasha, who are we meeting today?
Today we have an MP from Kedah.
Okay, terima kasih kepada saudari yang bertanya. Saya mewakili seluruh daerah penduduk Pendang. Penduduk Pendang ni ada dua mata pencarian rezeki. Yang pertamanya pendapatan daripada hasil padi. Yang kedua daripada getah dan sedikit daripada kelapa sawit. Dan juga golongan remaja B40 ini banyak yang berkelulusan ijazah keluar daripada universiti masih tidak ada kerja. Jadi ini perkara-perkara yang saya sedang tuntut. Yang pertamanya harga padi, yang kedua harga getah dan harga kelapa sawit. Alhamdulillah semakin meningkat. Dan peluang pekerjaan yang perlu saya bangkitkan di parlimen untuk kita memberi peluang kepada golongan-golongan yang belum mendapat pekerjaan, termasuk mereka yang skill worker seperti TVET, kerja-kerja yang melibatkan skill tertentu, vocational dan sebagainya, kerana mereka ini juga mempunyai kemampuan untuk menjadi lebih maju di atas skill. Walaupun mereka tidak mempunyai latar belakang akademik, tapi mereka ada kebolehan dalam bidang-bidang teknikal yang lain yang boleh mereka menjana pendapatan untuk menjadi negara lebih baik. Ini perkara-perkara yang saya sedang cakap setiap kali dalam parlimen. Dan yang terakhir, saya minta supaya kerajaan expedite jadual pembinaan hospital Pendang. Kerana satu-satu daerah yang belum ada hospital hanya daerah Pendang. Daerah kawasan saya. Sekian, terima kasih.
You just heard Pendang MP Awang Hashim. Tasha, as always, thank you so much for that parliamentary update. We've had a pretty, I was going to say automobile-focused segment, but I'm not sure the flying car is an automobile. So we've had a car-heavy segment today because we've been talking about child restraint seats, car seats for children, and how when it comes to larger families, I think different considerations might need to be made. There is going to be an exemption for about a six-month period where they're not going to be so punitive. But we just want to know, I mean, long-term solutions are important, right? Like, you can't just keep an exemption going. Ultimately, there needs to be solutions for children safety in those cars. So if you have any thoughts, do let us know, because we will be continuing this conversation later. And if you want to talk about the flying car and your hopes for it, always welcome. Those numbers are 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.